In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit, forget the name. Tonight, through the grace of God, we will start together chapter 6 from the book of Acts. This chapter is a very important chapter, and the whole scripture, because in this chapter we read about the ordination of the deacons, the ordination of the first 7 deacons in the church. The summary of the chapter, there was a complaint from the Grecians, and because of this complaint, the church decided to appoint 7 deacons. Also, we read in the chapter that many of the priests converted to Christianity. Many of the church priests converted to Christianity. We also read about St. Stephen and the power of God that was working with them and now performed many miracles and wonders. And there was a controversy between St. Stephen and the Jews, and they charged him with blasphemy, and he brought them before the Sanhedrin. This is the summary of the chapter, and let's start reading it verse by verse. Verse 1. Now, in those days, when the number of the disciples was multiplying, there arose a complaint against the Hebrews by the Hellenists, because their widows were neglected in the daily distribution. In those days, maybe after some years from the Pentecost, and now the number of the believers multiplied. Who are the Hellenists? Hellenists are Jewish people who live outside Jerusalem in Greece. Like we are Egyptian, but we live here in America. So the Hellenists are not Greek by birth, but or by race, but they are Jewish people who live outside Jerusalem in Greece, and now maybe they returned back to Jerusalem and they became Christian. The Jewish people who live in Jerusalem consider themselves superior to the Jewish people who live outside Jerusalem. And maybe that's why they neglected the Hellenists in the daily distribution. What's the daily distribution? As we read in chapter 2, that everybody took according to his need, and nobody was in need. And definitely the widows were dependent people, as the 5 women were not working. So the widows definitely were in need. And every day they used to go to the disciples or the apostles and take their needs from them. And because the number was multiplied, maybe there was no much attention was given to the widows of the Hellenists. And when they found that these widows are neglected in the daily distribution, they made a complaint to the apostles. And here, we didn't find the apostles became offensive. or the desire to justify and say, tell the thing is okay. Why do you complain? No, they didn't act in this way. They started the complaint in a very objective way, and they start to find a solution, as they get a solution in order to satisfy the people. So I can say, every time and everywhere, those who are human beings, we will not be perfect in ourselves, in our midst. And we expect complaint to come. And then if we hear any complaint, we should take it in an objective way. Understand the complaint and try to find a solution to the complaint. And in this way, everybody will be satisfied. And this is the responsibility of the servants of the church, like the apostles, like the church. So here, we know that the number of the disciples multiplied, and because the number multiplied, some leaders of the Hellenists were neglected in the daily distribution, and this complaint went to the apostles. Let us see how the apostles solved this. Verse 2. Then the 12 summoned the multitude of the disciples and said, it is not desirable that we should leave the word of God and serve the tables. And here the disciples or the apostles were very, very clear about their mission, their ministry. Their ministry is to pray and to preach the word of God. And they didn't want any distraction. That's why they started to choose lay people and to appoint a rank in the church called the rank of the servant, the deacons, because the deacon, the word deacon in Greek means a servant. And here I like to describe the triangle of the priesthood. We have three ranks, the bishop as the priest and the deacon. The priest should be responsible for the spiritual affair of the church. The deacons should be responsible for the administrative affairs of the church. And both of them should report to the bishop. That is the triangle. The bishop and the priest and the deacon, priest responsible for the spiritual affairs of the church, deacons responsible for the administrative affairs of the church, and both of them report to the bishop. But here I want to emphasize how the 12 made it very clear, it is not desirable that we should be distracted by administrative issues, by serving the people and believe the word of God. Our calling is to preach the word of God. Our calling is the spiritual affair of the church. And the number 12 means that Matthias was included, because we choose Matthias to replace Judas. And this means Matthias was accepted as a full apostle among the 12 apostles. Verse 3. Therefore, brethren, seek out from among you 70 men of good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, whom we may appoint over this business or over this service. So, in order for the apostles to dedicate their time for the spiritual ministry and for preaching the word of God, they decided to appoint seven because it is a number of perfection, seven deacons, seven servants, in order to be responsible for distributing the daily food for the needy. And here, they made, I can say, two requirements or three requirements. Actually, there are two requirements. People of good reputation and full of wisdom. And finally, what is the two requirements? Because you cannot have a good reputation and you cannot be wise unless you are full of the Holy Spirit. So the message here, we need to choose people who are of good reputation and wise. And in order to find these people, they have to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Filled with the Holy Spirit means they bear the fruit of the Spirit in them. Good. They are known of their honesty. They are known of their faithfulness. I can trust them with the money of the church, with the distribution. They are faithful. And why is it important to be prudent and understanding? No help to distribute wisely. And if you remember when the Lord spoke about the steward, he said, who is the faithful and wise steward? These are the two main characteristics. Here we need the faithful, good reputation, and wise. And I usually explain it this way. If you have a business and you want to appoint a manager of this business, you will look for a faithful and wise manager. Faithful in order not to steal your money, and wise in order not to be able to make a profit. If you choose them faithful but not wise, then yes, it's faithful. You will steal your money, but you cannot make any profit. If you choose them wise and not faithful, you will make a lot of profit, but you will steal it from you. In the same way, we as a steward, God expects from us two things, to be wise and faithful. Wise in order to make profit for the glory of God. Faithful not to see the profit of ourselves, but to render it to God. And here is participation of the people. They call the believers to see out from among you, said in them. Nomination. That's why when we choose by the word of deacon, we ask him to nominate you. We don't appoint them, we follow the biblical order. You nominate, and then we choose from those whom you are nominating. Even in the priesthood, you know, the people has to approve the candidate for the priesthood. Or even the shop, they have to approve him first. As the apostle said, see out from around you, set a man of good reputation, full of wisdom and wisdom, who will be appointed over the citizens. Appoint me ordain. Appoint here me ordain. Ordain him. And we see how the ordination will be done. Ordination will be done by prayer and laying of hands. And until then, when we ordain deacon or a priest, we ordain them by prayer, laying of hands, and the breath of the Holy Spirit, and the Lord raises the gifts of the disciples and give them the Holy Spirit. Verse 4, but we will get ourselves continually to prayer and the ministry of the Lord. Here is the goal. We want to appoint deacons in order for us to dedicate ourselves continually to prayer and ministry of the Lord. This is our calling as clergy, priests. We need to dedicate our life to prayer by worship, liturgy, praises, and preaching the word. Then it is a responsibility of the deacons to help in the administration. And I want you to notice that they did not appoint deacons So that the apostles would have this as they relax. But he didn't say this. He said, actually, upon being because there is another calling, another mission you are responsible for, which is the prayer and the ministry of the word. Verse 5, and the saying, please the Lord of the multitude. And here is the wisdom. When there is a complaint, I should find a solution that possibly pleases everybody. If I find a solution to please everybody, then actually I'm successful in resolving this conflict. And I want you to notice that the apostles did not let the complaint to go for so many weeks or months or years. They immediately attended the complaint, made a resolution, and everybody was pleased, everybody was happy. And the saying, please the Lord of the multitude. And they chose seven persons. Stephen, a man full of faith, and the Holy Spirit. And actually, in Acts chapter 6 and 7, we will know more about St. Stephen. St. Stephen became the first martyr and became the archdeacon or the head of the deacons. And full of faith. Full of faith means he was a believer, a Christian, full of the Holy Spirit, faithful. And full of the Holy Spirit, and full of the Holy Spirit. As I told you, you cannot be wise and not be faithful unless you are filled with the Holy Spirit. And Philip, this Philip is different than Philip, one of the 12 apostles. This Philip is commonly referred to as Philip the Evangelist. And when you see chapter 8, have been an amazing ministry in Samaria. And after this, the Lord actually chose him to go and to preach to the Ethiopian eunuch. Then we read in the book of Acts about Philip, that at the end he lived and later ministered as Caesarea, as we read in Acts chapter 21, verse 8. At the end he lived and labored at Caesarea. Then the other names, Prochorus, Nicanor, Timon, Parmenas, Nicholas. Some people said that Nicholas is the one who was mentioned in the book of Revelation about the heresy of Nicolaitan. So maybe it's the same Nicholas actually who started this heresy. So he was one of the seven, but he drifted away from the faith. And they referred to him a proselyte from Antioch. What does this mean, proselyte from Antioch? The word proselyte means a person who is Gentile, not of Jewish origin. So this man was from Antioch. He was a Gentile, not Jewish man from Antioch. But he was converted to Judaism and being circumcised, and after this he became Christian. So when we read the word crucified in the New Testament, crucified means a person who was not a Jewish but converted to Judaism and being circumcised. And as for Nicholas, he became actually Christian later on, was chosen one of the seven deacons. Verse 6, whom he sent before the apostles. But when we look at the deacons, they come before the altar, and the bishop, they stand for the bishop to ordain them. And when they have prayed, they lay hands on them. This is how we ordain. You know, in the ordination, the bishop first pray, say some prayers, and then he lays the hand on the candidate. So, to ordain, we ordain by laying hands and by prayer. Usually, the ordination happens either after the reading of the book of Acts or either after the reconciliation prayer. The ordination of bishops and patriarchs are done after the reading of Acts. Why? Because the ordination of the bishops and patriarchs are the continuation of the apostles. That's why they are ordained after the reading of the book of the Acts of the apostles. Deacons and priests are ordained after the reconciliation prayer. Because their ministry is ministry of reconciliation. That's why the deacons and the priests are ordained after the prayer of reconciliation, because their ministry is ministry of reconciliation. Now we have several ranks in the deaconate. Chaplain Eleusalos means the deacon who chants. Ognosis leader means those who read. Some deacon or deacon assistant who assists the full deacon in his ministry. There is a full deacon, and there is the archdeacon, which is the head of the deacon. So we have Psalms, something called Psalm, which means a chapter. Almost means leader, some deacon, deacon assistant, then the full deacon, and the archdeacon head of the deacon. Unfortunately, all the ranks of the deacon are not working properly during these days. For example, chapter should chant home, but now we ordain themselves, and from the ladies so they can read and can serve the altar, and this is not right. Only those who are of Moses' leader should read, but unfortunately, allow themselves to read. Only the full deacon should serve inside the altar. But never allow the servants and the apostles to serve inside the altar. And the deacon who is serving inside the altar should be assisted by the sub-deacon to assist him in preparing the altar. And then there must be archdeacon actually to organize and supervise all the deacon ministry. And the deacon not only serve, the full deacon not only serve the altar, but as I explained, he should be responsible for all the administrative affairs of the church. As St. Stephen was preaching the word of God, so he has a liturgical ministry, and besides this liturgical ministry, he was in charge of the administrative affairs of the church. And actually, I was thinking, if in our diocese we start to allow only some status to chat, only the leaders that are supposed to read, only some deacon and deacon to serve in God's altar. But I'm never concerned because this is not followed everywhere. So people will come and start to compare why the apostles are allowed to serve in this church but not serving here. Why the elders are allowed to be inside the altar but not here. And the conflict here is that unfortunately the wrong begins at home. And when we want to correct it, actually people will complain about what's right. But as St. Paul said, God is God of order. And I know one thing that we can keep the original order of the deacon. Also, the full deacon and archdeacon should be full time consecrated. They cannot work and serve as full deacons. And they also are vested in black robes, like the priests. The full deacon and the archdeacon should be fully consecrated to the service of the Lord. This is it. Then the word of God said, wow, because now there are deacons who are responsible for the administration. And the apostles dedicated more time to the ministry of the word and prayer. That's why the word of God said it. But if the apostles were busy with the administrative affairs of the church, this would be hindrance to speak the word of God. And the numbers of the disciples multiplied greatly in Jerusalem. Disciples mean those who believe in Christ. Why can we call disciples? Because they are disciples of Christ. So when you read in the book of Acts, what are disciples? Disciples means Christian. Disciples of Christ. And a great many of the priests were obedient to the faith. So even priests from the Jewish tradition, now they converted to Christianity and became Christian. And I want you to know that there was a great number of priests. In Asra, chapter 2, verse 36 to 39, we read that there was at that time in Asra 4,289 priests who returned from Babylon. So we expect that this number of priests multiplied than 4,289. And many of these priests that became Christian. Obedience to the faith means obedience to the Christian faith, believe in Christ. Verse 8. And Stephen, full of faith and power, did great wonders and signs among the people. So, not only was he successful in his ministry as archdeacon, but also God used him in order to perform miracles and to perform wonders and signs among the people. In the ordination, the Holy Spirit descended upon the cattle. So the Holy Spirit descended upon the Stephen and the other six deacons. And because he received the grace of the Holy Spirit through this ordination, now they become full of power, the power of the Holy Spirit, and God performed various signs and wonders on their hands. And full of faith means he was a godly man. He was confident in God. His faith was alive, not big faith, not a theoretical faith. He lived what he believed. He lived what he believed. Verse 9. But do you think that Satan will see the church growing, the number of disciples multiplying, the word of God spreading, and Satan will be silent? No. We expect with any growth, any progress in the service, we expect also that Satan will attack. This is what happened here. Verse 9, then there arose some from what is called the synagogue of the freedmen. Cyrenians, Alexandrian, and those from Cilicia and Asia. Who are the freedmen? As you know, some people, many Jews, actually thousands of Jews, were taken captive and sold into slavery by Pompey in 63 before Christ. So, either these people or their children got free later on. So, they called themselves the freedmen. those who will flee from the city and they make a synagogue for themselves. Actually, there were many synagogues in Jerusalem. In the Talmud, we read that during the time of the first church, there was 480 synagogues in Jerusalem. 480 synagogues in Jerusalem. So, that's the first. Sirenian was a group of the Jewish people who lived there and now they returned to Jerusalem and they had their own synagogue, the synagogue of the Sirenian. Alexandria, also Jews who lived in Egypt, in Alexandria. And then they returned back and they made their own synagogue. Synagogue of Alexandria, these Jewish people who lived in Egypt. Cilicia, those were from Cilicia. Cilicia actually is the place where St. Paul was born. Because Tarsus, the birthplace of St. Paul, was part of Cilicia. So this synagogue, we have St. Paul in this synagogue, and we know that synagogue attended the trials and Stephen. So he was a member of this synagogue of Cilicia, and as you know, St. Paul was a disciple of the Gamaliel. And St. Paul attended this trial and was one of those opponents of St. Stephen. And Asia, here doesn't refer to the continent of Asia, but Asia here refers to the province, the Roman province of Asia Minor, which Ephesus was its capital. If you visit Turkey, you will find Ephesus, which was the capital of a Roman province called Asia. So these synagogues, the freedmen, Cyrenian, Alexandria, Cilicia, and Asia were disputing with Celestine. And as I told you, St. Paul, or his name was before Saul, was one of these people. Why they were disputing with Celestine? They were disputing with St. Stephen, son of Jesus Christ, and all of these people were Jewish. And they did not believe that Christ is the Messiah. They did not believe in the resurrection of Christ. That's why they were disputing with St. Stephen. But St. Stephen, who is full of the Holy Spirit, as the Lord promised us that he will give us love and wisdom, that no one can contradict or resist. That's why we could not resist or contradict the wisdom of St. Stephen as we present. And we were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which he spoke. Wisdom and spirit means these words are not his own words, but the words of the spirit of his mouth, because it was filled with the Holy Spirit. When we are filled with the Holy Spirit, nobody can resist the wisdom. It's not a human wisdom, but it is a divine wisdom. Verse 7. Then they secretly induced men to say, "We have heard speak blasphemous words against Moses and God." And until then, when people cannot resist, cannot reply wisely, they tell what to attack. In any dispute, if you are making your case wisely, and the person in front of you starts to attack you, this means he cannot resist your reason or your logic. Once the person cannot resist the Lord was the reason for the wisdom, he turned to attack and the same until today. This is what happened to Stephen. When they were able to resist the wisdom, what they did, they induced secretly men to attack. Until now, we see this is happening. When people cannot resist the wisdom, secretly, they conspire and devise plans to attack. Secretly induced men to attack and receive. And instead of having heard him, see that was more against Moses and Pharaoh. Definitely, they switch and twisted the word of Celestine. Because Celestine was preaching that the law of Moses could not save the people. That's why God sent the Son Jesus Christ to save us by the grace. And the law disciplined us after Christ, and the law sent to the law of covenant. Vanished as a voice in Hebrew, chapter 8, and now there is a new covenant based on grace and truth. So we use these words, as we said, we heard in it, speak blasphemous word against Moses and against God. Against Moses, because this is the spoke against how the law of Moses did not save the people. And that was when he said, God sent the Son of the world, and Jesus is God, and he considered his blessing. Because he did not believe that Jesus is God. Verse 12, and they stirred up the people, the elders, and the scribes, and they came upon him, seized him, and brought him to the council. The second way, as I told you, when a person cannot resist the wisdom, number one, he starts to attack. Number two, he starts to spread rumors among the people and to scare the people against, you know, the person whom you want to attack. This is exactly what happens to Stephen. They attacked him, and they stirred the people against him. They stirred the people, every scribe, everyone against him. So they seized him and brought him to the council. The council said, this is the dream. Why? To try him, to examine him, to test him. They also set up false witnesses who said, that is the third man. False witnesses who said, this man does not seem to speak blasphemous words against his holy grace and the law. So the first person to attack. Second person, to steal the people, spread rumors, the order, to steal the people. Third person, they bring false witnesses. People who do not say the truth. To bear false witnesses against Celestine. And he said, this man, Celestine, does not cease to speak blasphemous words against the holy place and the law. Holy place is the temple. Definitely, Celestine was preaching the destruction of the temple as the Lord told them. In Matthew chapter 24, as he considers this, he is speaking blasphemy against the temple. And again, in the law, this is St. Stephen spoke, how the Lord will not save the people. And that's why God released the law of God that was in the common. But he could not accept this. Verse 14, for we have heard him say that this Jesus of Nazareth will destroy his place and shed the customs which Moses delivered to us. Again, there is twisting here. destroy this place? No, it is their rebellion against God that destroyed the place. The Lord told them, Jerusalem, Jerusalem. How many times I wrote together with the children and the hen gathers the chicks under the wings, but refused. Your house will be destroyed. So why the house was destroyed? Why the temple was destroyed? Because of their rebellion. Not because Jesus destroyed the temple. But the enemy said Stephen was preaching about the destruction of Jerusalem and was giving him warning that the temple will be destroyed, which was fulfilled in 70 AD. And changing the custom which Moses delivered to us, definitely, because this custom was symbols. Circumcision was symbol for baptism. All the sacrifices were symbol for the Holy Eucharist. So he was not changing. Actually, he was preaching the fulfillment of these customs. Because circumcision was fulfilled by baptism. Sacrifices was fulfilled by the Holy Eucharist. But instead of saying he was preaching the fulfillment of the customs, they said, no, he was changing the customs which Moses delivered to us, twisting him of the hands. And all who sat in the council looked steadfastly at him. Wow. They wanted to see what was his reaction to this accusation. Now he said, standing at the Sanhedrin, among all these captive synagogues, accused falsely that he blasphemed against God, against Moses, against the holy place, against the law. And the punishment of blasphemy, stoning. So he would be stoned, would be killed. So they looked steadfastly at his face to see how was his reaction. And maybe they were expecting to see that Stephen afraid, crying out, shaking, so angry because of this false accusation. Sometimes when people falsely accuse us, we became so angry. But heaven found him, and he saw his face as the face of an angel. God people, people who are filled with the Holy Spirit, even when they are falsely accused, even when they are charged with blasphemy, even when they are condemned to death, because God is within them, their face will be shining like an angel. And I'm sure St. Paul, when he was sitting in this council and looked at St. Stephen, I believe that this face, the shining face, the angelic face of St. Stephen, was one of the walls that pierced the heart of St. Paul. But until this moment, St. Paul's heart was hardened. That's why he did not believe. And when the Lord came to him, he told him, it is difficult for you to kick against the rules. One of his rules was the peace of St. Stephen. That's why in his letters he referred to St. Stephen. Because he judged him, he condemned him to death, and actually he kicked the cross of the people who stoned St. Stephen. What happened in the trial? This is actually what we read in Acts chapter 7. Glory be to God for the liberal and the liberal. Any comments or questions on this chapter? I'm going to do some review questions about this chapter.
a multiple choice question. So, so the first question is, what initiated the need for the deacons of the nation in this chapter? What initiated the need for deacons for the nation? Is it an agreed to the disciples' number, or the disciples were tired of service, or trying to find a job for those who keep ordained? Which one do you think? Okay, they agreed to the disciples' number. So I think it's very good. The second one, how many deacons were to be ordained? Number three. What specification would they look for in these deacons? A good reputation, full of the Holy Spirit and wisdom, good money, beautiful voice. So, Number four. So in verse 5, name the chosen men who became deacons. Okay. Stephen, okay. Philip, okay.
Nicholas,
very good. Timon, Nicholas, very good. Hermes, okay. So, when does the ordination of deacons appear in the public church nowadays? After the reading of the Acts, after the prayer of the consolation, or during the best of prayer? After the prayer of the consolation. The 12 are called to focus on what?
Prayer and the word of God.
Prayer and
ministry of the word.
Reading the word. Very good. With the other ministries being accomplished by deacons and
priests.
According to Acts chapter 6, deacon is a synonym between lady and clergy, congregation submit names and bishop for deacon. Neither congregation nor bishops have a role in the ANB. Look at the synergy between lady and clergy. Means that the lady, he has choose, okay, and then the bishops appoint or ordain. Okay, so the word that is synergy between lady. What is the meaning of these ranks of deacons? Charles, Janus, very good. It must be. Maybe the actor?
Assistant to the deacon.
Okay. What about the deacon? I didn't write the deacon.
The leader of the
family. What does that say? That's the servant to be the deacon.
Yes.
Servant. Very good. Ashley.
The leader of the deacon.
Very good. Verse 7. What was the deacon's rank? Archdeacon, reader, priest. Very good. Question 8. People from the synagogue of Sweden were not able to resist the wisdom and the spirit by which the Stephen spoke. That's why they accused the him of blasphemy.
True.
How did the people in the house succeed since Stephen, when Luke is the testament, his faith is just an angel? Sure.
Yeah.
Okay. Very good. Then, do you have any questions?
أمين ثابت ريك أيوك أيوم نعماتي كان إنك أيك سوسيون أفتونيون
Thank you.
Thank you.